Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we're going to hear from two Remelton men who are flying high in the League of Ireland. Finn Harps captain Tony McNamee will be joining us to look ahead to the Cove Ramblers game. Plus, we'll be hearing from Ronan Boyce of Derry City as Derry look to continue their unbeaten start to the Premier Division when they take on Waterford United on Friday night at the Brandywell. Plus, Declan Boyle will be joining us as well for our usual weekly League of Ireland chat. Later on in the programme, we'll be looking at colleges and schools, GAA and soccer, because already this week there's been a number of titles. Two schools in the northwest, Pobl Scoil Gweadóir at All-Ireland level, and a Eustace Shield as well going to ATU Donegal. And we'll preview Abbey Vocational School's All-Ireland final, which is coming up on Saturday as well. So it's another very busy Score programme, but we're going to start with the soccer and League of Ireland. And for a chat this week, former Finn Harps skipper Declan Boyle joins us. Declan, a very good evening.
Good, Oisin. How's the form?
The form's not bad, Declan, and we'll be hoping that, Finn Harps can continue their good form as well this weekend. We're going into a third home game on the bounce and looking for more points against a Cove side who have decided to reverse the fixture. But Darren Murphy's team, no doubt, will be hoping to continue this good home form that they've had at the start of the season, Declan.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I suppose first game of the season, they waited long for 3-2, you know, drawing with Cork. Cork were probably a better team on the night. I thought that was a good result. And then obviously a big result last week in 2-0 against Athlone. So that's, you know, it's a great start. 7 points from a possible nine, sitting in second in the table, 3D, a full complement of points in their first, obviously. So it's an opportunity to play Cove at home, and you're looking for another 3 points, and the form's been good. Two good performances at home, and the crowds are up, and the anticipation's up as well. But it's, you know, it's been a perfect start, I would think. Not perfect start, but it's been a very, very good start from Murphy, and I would say, and the squad of players, and they're obviously delighted with it.
Yeah, we're going to hear from him shortly in the programme. Tony McNamee, certainly leading in the captain's role, and he has been one of the standout players along with a few others in these opening games, Declan.
Yeah, of course. You know, Tony came back in again. This is his second spell at the club, and the team captain was a good decision as well by the manager to give him that opportunity, and he seems to be really, really enjoying that role and taking that leadership and enjoying his performance as well. And sometimes being captain can have a negative effect on some players, you know, because it's a different role. But the fact he's, you know, there, has experience, there's no doubt in his quality on the ball and the effectiveness of how he plays and the penetrating passes that he can deliver as well. So all those things are all positive, but being team captain means a lot, and he's taken it on board, and he seems to be just shining in that position.
Yeah, and he's linking up well with Success Edigon. The Harps supporters and indeed the rest of the Harps camp will be hoping that Edigon Success gets on the score sheet again tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's been the key, really. You know, I mean, obviously scoring goals is what a centre forward's all about, and he's done that three times a season in three games. And also, I think he links it all too well. He's a good, you know, good focal point and target man as well. When you're under a wee bit of pressure, he kind of links it all together, and he comes in, you know, he battles against centre halves. He doesn't make it easy for them, and that link-up play. But, you know, even last week, I mean, a great assist to the first goal, yeah. And, you know, so that's what you're looking for, you know. That general play, hold it up, but also to score goals. And probably if you compare that to last season, we just didn't have that sort of target man, guy that's going to score your goals, but also be a target man. And when you are under pressure, and it gives you an opportunity to get up the pitch, and also from that, you know, when the ball goes up to him, it's going to stick. You can link it all together, but it also gives an opportunity to wingers to go and advance positions and try to get balls in behind the fullbacks. And he's done that really, really well so far. So he's been a really, really successful signing for the club, and long may that continue. And if he can keep the current form up, there's no doubt that that'll play into big results going forward over the next five or six games.
Would you expect Harps to win tomorrow night, Declan?
I think so. I really do. I know Cove got the playoffs last year and were very unlucky. I think Waterford put them out. But they've lost two influential players. Jack Doherty went to Cork City and I've seen him up in the showgrounds, and he's quite a good player as well. And also Wilson Aguero went to Sligo Rovers as well. So, and he's centre forward as well. So they've lost that threat, that real goal scoring potential that they had last year, you know. So Cove haven't started really well as well. So you're at home, you're playing Cove. If you want to be up in the playoffs, you need to be one of your home games, and you need to be getting something out of this game, at least get a draw out of it. You know, we're bringing that into, obviously, games against Kerry as well, and I think we have Wexford as well, so away. So that there's a couple of games there that, you know, we need to get 3 points against Cove, and that keeps that run going, keeps pressure on Treaty above you, and then if you can, you know, beat Kerry at home, you have Wexford away as well. So there's a couple of games coming up that you can maybe get points on that haven't, those teams haven't started the best. So it's a great opportunity, but it'll not be easy, obviously, you know. But if you score the first goal, we're not conceding too many goals as well, so we're getting harder to play against and to beat as well. So at home, I'd be expecting a big performance, and hopefully 3 big points for the team.
Yeah, we'll be expecting another big performance from Derry City in the Premier Division. They take on Waterford FC. Could be a tricky game tomorrow night. But Declan, they're going into a game that there'll be a wee bit of hurt coming from the previous outing, where really they should have took the 3 points against the champions on Monday night in that 2-2 draw, having conceded late against Rovers in Dublin.
Yeah, disappointing for Derry City. You know, played really well, and a big game for them to go up to Tala, big crowd as well, great atmosphere, and to be leading 2-1 until, you know, into 90th minute, 92nd minute, and then to concede, that's a big blow, you know, after a big performance. I suppose their performances have been good, but not perfect. You know, I've seen them up in the showgrounds, and I thought to just play within themselves a wee, but there's still something missing. I just wasn't sure, you know. Obviously, they're scoring goals regularly as well, but I mean, conceding two against Shamrock Rovers, especially in the last minute, disappointing. But yeah, listen, they're going to have a home match again. Their home form has been good so far. Big crowds back in the Brandywell. And, you know, against a Waterford team that have really hit the ground running, Keith Long and Reynolds, Alan Reynolds coming back, obviously, to Derry City. So they've really recruited well, got loads of experience, and they're scoring goals. And Patrick Allman is scoring regularly as well for them. So they've got a threat. They're not going to be an easy game to play against. And I suspect goals in that game. Can Derry? I still expect Derry to go and win it, but it'll not be that easy, because what Keith Long has put together, he has put a team that's very, very quick on the counter attack. They play a wee bit deeper, and they have that experience to sit in a wee bit, but also on the counter attack, they scored goals, and they scored on the counter attack against Shelburne in the opening game as well. And they're a real threat on the break, and that's going to be a big area where the team's going to have to be on their toes for all counter attacks. But yeah, listen, the quality of Derry's players, I know they're missing 3 or 4 of the midfielders at the minute, and that's obviously having a bit of effect on them. Their squad is big, but the 3 or 4 influential midfielders that they're missing makes them a wee bit weaker in the middle of the park, but still the quality that they have and the home game, I expect them to get 3 points in the end.
Yeah, we'll be hearing from Ronan Boyce, the Remelton man. Venice Football with Derry City coming up shortly on the programme. But one of the biggest games of the weekend is at Dalymount Park, another big North Dublin derby. Bohemians against the leaders, Shelburne, Declan.
Yeah, it's a big game. I mean, I've seen Shelburne up in showgrounds, and where they weren't particularly that good. I seen them last year, I thought they were excellent, their overall play, and I would always say that the Shelburne team under Damien Duff is probably the best coach team in the league. Now they were very, very rigid up in the showgrounds, defended very well. They have made good signings as well. I mean, Sean Gannon came in and played right full 10 league titles, like loads of experience, you know, and the back four was very, very good on the night, and they defended well. And they've done a similar performance against Galway. Galway going up to Talca Park and lost 1-0. I think, you know, Galway had opportunities, but Shelburne dug in. They just seemed at the minute fit to dig in and defend very well. You know, that's a couple of 0-1 victories for them, so they've done really, really well. The Declan Devine, I suppose, have been up and down a wee bit. You know, they had a good performance against St Pat's. They came back and drew 2-2 with Sligo in the opening game of the season, and they were poor last week. So, yeah, listen, they weren't happy with the goals last week, Declan Devine, the squad of players. So he'd be looking for reaction from last Monday to this Friday. So he'd be pushing hard. But I find that I've watched Shelburne. I think they're very, very good, really professional, know their jobs inside out, defend well in numbers and counter-attack quickly as well. And they're going to be a difficult game. It might end up a draw in that one, but Bowes will be pushing hard because it's extra pressure on Declan Devine if he doesn't get a result.
And just one other fixture of note on Saturday, Sligo Rovers taking on Shamrock Rovers. Sligo have picked up some impressive results, Declan. They scored 5 goals recently against Dundalk. Can they upset the champions at the showground?
Listen, performances have been good. You know, as I said earlier, they should have got 3 points against Bowes. Bowes scored late on to get a draw, 2-2 draw up there. You know, last week we lost 1-0 to Shelburne, and the performance was very good. A lot of play. Didn't, you know, I say Shelburne defended very well in the night, but then they went up to Dundalk and beat Dundalk 5-0, very comfortable. And I wasn't expecting them to score so many goals. So they're coming in good form. You know, they've 1-2 draws. Shamrock Rovers probably, you know, if you're playing Shamrock Rovers, if there ever is such a thing as a good time to play a team, it's probably them at the minute. Like, their performances haven't been good at all. You know, I mean, they're taking, I think, 2 points out of 3 games. Like, so it hasn't been a good start for them, but, you know, we know the quality and they will come good for sure. You know, the last year, I think their first game was a 1-1 draw up in the showgrounds, and Shamrock Rovers came in the second time and beat them comfortably. So you just don't know. I mean, big, big rivalry between the two Rovers, as they call themselves, and Shamrock Rovers will have a big crowd coming with them, supporters-wise, and they have good atmosphere. You know, the crowds have been very big in showgrounds so far this season, so that's a massive game for both clubs. Good atmosphere on a Saturday night, and hopefully we'll get a big performance by both teams. Sligo could definitely get something out of that game, but you're probably expecting maybe Shamrock Rovers, to with the quality they have, to maybe nip 3 points on the night, but you just never know.
Okay, listen, Declan, as always, thanks for joining us, and enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks a million, Oisín. Talk to you soon.
That's former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle. Let's now hear from the current skipper at Finn Park, Tony McNamee, ahead of the clash against Cove Ramblers. He caught up with Chris Ashmore this week.
Well, Tony, very positive start to the season. You must be well pleased.
Yeah, we've started well. We've got, 7 points in the first 3 games. I suppose at the start of the season you would have taken that all day long, but we'll not get ahead of ourselves. We'll look again to Cove now on Friday night. Obviously, rescheduled or refixed fixture, so we have to try and take advantage of home advantage and hope to push on then.
Probably no harm in some ways with that bit of momentum, having three at home, because if you can take full advantage, you know, it's a great start.
Yeah, like we spoke about it amongst the group. When you're going well, the crowd always support you well in Finn Park. Seeing as we started the season well, hopefully it will be a good crowd now on Friday night and help us push on. But when you've got a bit of momentum, it's nice to keep going. And hopefully with the home advantage, we'll be able to kick on as well.
You seem to have that bit of momentum partly from what happened pre-season. Pre-season seemed to go well and you carried it through.
Yeah, we had ideas of what we were going to sort of implement a game plan. When you're playing, I suppose, the Premier Division teams, you're looking at it and going, well, we want to, especially with their, I suppose, derby matches, you want to try and implement your own game plan on them. And I think we went through pre-season fairly well, all but maybe picking up a few injuries. But we went through pre-season fairly well and we started the season fairly well. So hopefully we can just kick on from this here now, and hopefully we can go with 3 points on Friday night.
And compared with last season, when there were so many young players in, so many new faces, most of whom had never played League of Ireland before, this is a little bit sort of a more settled setup.
Yeah, well, even you look, I suppose, at you go back to maybe July last year when there was a lot of, including myself, there was a lot of new signings brought in. It might have took a bit of time to gel together. But all the new signings have settled fairly well as well. And then, again, as you said, the younger players that were maybe in their first season last year have a year's experience behind them as well. And you can see with a lot of them that they're physically stronger. And they're, I suppose, they're capable of maybe a physical battle as opposed to anything else. All in all, we're delighted with how the season has started. But we can't... We can't underestimate what's ahead of us either. We can't look any further ahead than Cove on Friday night. Some people have spoke to me different stages throughout the last year, being yes, are going well, yes, are going poorly. But again, you can only look to the next game. And for us, it's Friday night at home to Cove, and you have to look towards that there.
And Cove, never an easy team to beat, and no doubt they'll be hoping that they'll be in the shake-up maybe for a playoff spot this year.
Yeah, well, I suppose we can't look any further than our own performances against them last year. I think we lost two, drew one, and won one. Like the last time we played Cove down in Cove, it was, I suppose, we got a bit of a spanking. I think 4-1 flattered us. We never got off the bus, but we found it fairly difficult to actually get going. And Cove have, I suppose, strengthened as well. They've lost a few players, brought a few players in, but every team's going to be difficult. We have to hope that the home advantage will suit us down to the ground.
Now, Cork, pretty much everybody's favourites for the title. Who do you expect to be in the shake-up?
Look, it's early stages yet. You always look after maybe the first round of fixtures and say who's there or thereabouts. But again, Cork will be most people's favourites, I suppose. And I suppose after playing against them, we've seen how good they are. They've seen the quality that they have in the final third. On their day, they could beat anyone 4 or 5. But again, on any given day, any team can beat anyone in the First Division, and we know that there because all the teams last year took points off each other, and it's just, we have to just try and beat whoever's in front of us, really.
And tell us, being captain of Harps, you've had a number of stints with the club. The hunger is there. I mean, you're with a bunch of players that really want to try and achieve something.
Yeah, I was delighted to get one more. Told me that I was going to be captain this year, I was delighted, but again, it's just a role, I suppose, that's passed on to me. There's plenty of other players with a bit of experience that can show that role as well. And again, you look at the likes of David Colley coming in, you have the likes of Ryan Rennie when he's back from injury, Connor Turris coming back now too. We have a lot of older players, along with some of the, I suppose, we say we have like three different, I suppose, you have an older bracket, you have a middle bracket, and you have a younger bracket. But again, even the younger players have showed a bit of leadership in a way. And again, looking forward to Friday night more than anything.
And mention of some of the younger players, Harps have quite a few players who've had Republic of Ireland representation now at underage level, and that all augurs well for the future.
Oh, it does, surely. I think Oisín Cooney, Derek Hoyle, and young James McAteer are up with the Ireland schools team. And again, it bodes well for the, I suppose, even the underage teams, that the younger players, even the under 15s or 17s, are looking at it going, oh, look, we have a few of the under 19s, a few of the boys that's playing maybe on the bench with the seniors are in there or thereabouts with the Ireland squad. So it proves to them that it can be done. And to us, it's, I suppose, a bit of an advantage too, because we can see the players, they go away with a bit of, I suppose, senior experience, and then they bring it back in, then they're basically quite happy to come back then.
Yeah. And if we look at the club overall, you know, it's not that long ago that Harps had the first team, maybe an Ulster Senior League team, and that might have been it. Whereas now, the academy's there, the underage structure is there, there's so many people involved. Murph and the backroom team, he's got some great people around him. There's a lot of positivity.
Oh, there is. There's, again, I suppose it bodes well for the club. You look throughout the underage teams, it's there. There's a lot of maybe ex-players coming back and coaching. You look then, you have the underage girls teams as well. I think one of them would have a good result there at the weekend against Peamount. So the club's in a process that's looking forward than looking back. And again, it's delight, good for the club and good for the county.
Yeah, and I'm just looking out here on the training pitch, and we see Kevin McHugh is still running around as if he was maybe 20 years younger.
I would say Kevin's trying to get a place on Friday night, and again, if he's called upon, he'd be delighted to play, I would say.
Yeah, and just I mentioned a success, Odegaard, 3 goals in 3 games. I mean, he's hit the ground running, and finding a striker has been a problem in recent seasons, and he's certainly fitting the bill so far.
Yeah, I suppose you look down, regardless what league you play in, you want your number 9 scoring goals. I'm not saying it doesn't matter what he does off the ball or anything, but he's come into the group, he's settled well, he's got on, he gets on with everyone. I suppose everyone gets on with everyone. There's no bad eggs in the group, and I suppose whenever he's actually hitting goals, it's even better because he gets a bit of confidence from it as well.
Yeah. And finally, you mentioned the fans. They've got behind the team so well in the last couple of years, and no doubt they'll be the 12th man again against Cove, hopefully.
Yeah, look, we noticed that there the last, especially the likes of the Cork game. When Cork actually scored to bring it back to one each, the crowd actually got louder, and I suppose it brought us, gave us a bit of momentum them too to get forward again, and we again the game against Athlone, and then you could hear them shouting and roaring throughout the whole game, and it just gives you a bit of extra energy too going into the day and minutes.
That's Tony McNamee, the Finn Harps captain, speaking there to Chris Ashmore. Once again, kickoff time 7:45 tomorrow night. It's a reverse fixture. It was due to be down at St Colman's Park, but the decision was then made to move it to Finn Park. And Harps are playing for the third game in a row at home tomorrow night. And if you can't make the Finn Park in Ballybuffet, June Highlands Way, we'll have updates here in Highland from 7:45 with Jeremy Doherty and indeed Declan Boyle as well. Derry City, of course, are also looking to maintain their good start to the Premier Division in the League of Ireland against Waterford FC. We're here now from a second Remelton man on the programme as Ronan Boyce joins us to preview that match. Ronan, a very good evening to you.
Thanks for having me on. Hey,
Ronan, just before we look ahead to the game against Waterford, maybe we'll reflect on Monday night. Was it really disappointing not to be coming down the road with the 3 points against Shamrock Rovers last Monday?
When you can see in the last couple of minutes, like, at it, you know, you can't be happy. Like, it's you know, at that stage of the game, you think you have the 3 points in the bag, and you know, it's just we weren't able to get over the line. And when you get it, when, I suppose a point in Tallaght is not a bad result, but when you come so close, it definitely felt like a defeat. Yeah,
yeah. And from your own perspective, playing with Derry, those are the sort of big games that you want to be involved in, is it, Ronan?
Aye, definitely. I think over the past couple of years now, there've been a lot of kind of big games between us and Shamrock Rovers, and you know, it's you know, they're the best team in the country. Like, they won 4 in a row, and you know, we're just trying to catch them. We've got closer over the last 2 years, but you know, they're not just going to hand anything to you, and you're not going to get handed nothing in this league, especially. So, you know, we're just trying to build towards them and trying to pump them if we can. Like,
yeah. Do you feel that you are getting closer as time goes on to them? And was that evident? Was it Monday night?
I definitely think. I think the season before that, or the 2 years ago, we finished 14 points off them, and then I think last season we were 7 points off them. So it's definitely progress. Like, and on Monday night as well, I think anybody watching the game probably seen that I could have went the other way. You know, it was a good advertisement for the league, and you know, probably could have ended up 4 each. But no, we know ourselves that we're missing bodies too, and they're missing bodies. So no, it's definitely is getting closer.
Yeah, you might be down bodies, but I suppose with the additions that you brought in and the way Rory Higgins has built the squad up now over the last couple of years, even if you're down bodies, you've got players that are very much capable and have the quality to step in and run them.
That's it, definitely. I think our squad has been brilliant for us. You know, when every player in the squad can come in and start, not even just come in and make a difference. So, no, it's massive to have that, because that's what Shamrock Rovers had over the past couple of years. You know, they can replace quality with quality. So, and you need that if you want to do anything.
Yeah, you're going to knock on again, or look to knock on again on Friday night. Waterford are the opposition. Obviously, Alan Reynolds, that you know of, having been around the Brandywell in recent years as part of the management down there with Keith Long. What are you expecting against Waterford now on Friday?
I'm expecting a tough game. Like, I know it's cliche, and most people are saying it, that every game's tough, but it's true. Like, especially in the Premier Division this year, I think the two teams that come up, like Waterford and Galway, like, they're, you know, they've strengthened, and you know, they've got big budgets as well. So no, we're not taking for granted on Friday night. No chance. We know it's going to be a tough game, and they have some quality players, and obviously I know from working with Alan Reynolds, and I know Keith Long throughout the league for years, I know how well prepared they're going to be, and how tough it's going to be for us.
Yeah. You guys in the defence will have to be in your toes. They scored 4 against Drogheda and 3 against Pats the last night.
No, definitely. I think I think they're the striker Almond. I think he played in England for over 10 years and scored goals all over there. And I think their winger, Asamoah, started the season really brightly. So now we're well prepared on them, and you know, we've done our homework on them, but hopefully we can keep the back door shut on them.
Yeah. It feels as if, like, you're only 23 years, or coming 23 years of age. It feels as if you've been around the Brandywell for a very long time.
Aye, it definitely is. Like, I think it's, this year's, I think it was my fifth season with my first team. So, you know, I've been in here a long time, and now it's handy enough for me too. So it's only 35 or 40 minutes up the road, and, you know, I love it, hey, and it's going well so far, and I just hope that the next couple of years too are for me, the last couple.
Yeah, and I take it you get a good Donegal support in there. I'm sure there's a few Remelton people running around the crowd on a Friday night at the Brandywell, isn't there?
Aye, definitely. A lot of friends and family will support me, so they treat me well, hey, and they support me well, so I'm grateful for that too. Like, yeah.
Listen, we're grateful as well that you joined us tonight on the programme, Ronan. So the best of luck in the next game against Waterford on Friday.
Sound, Oisin. Thanks very much.
Right, elsewhere, football-wise, in the northwest, some of the big games coming up. There's actually a tournament here in the area to be played over 3 days, Friday through to Sunday. It's the FAI Youth Interprovincials, and it's been held in Donegal and in Ishone. The first of the games are taking place tomorrow night, Friday, at the Dry Arch Park in Bunnygee. Ulster will play Munster, and at Ballyar, it's Connacht against Leinster. Both fixtures start at 7 o'clock. The venue still has to be confirmed yet for Ulster against Connacht on Saturday at 2, but at the same time down at the Alia Grounds, Munster are playing Leinster. And on Sunday, both matches are in Letterkenny, with Ulster against Leinster at the Community Centre, and Lakeview Park will host Munster against Connacht, and both matches are due to get underway at 11 a.m. Junior-wise, the standout game is, of course, the representation from the county in the Oscar Traynor Interleague Trophy. It's the quarter-final stage, and the Donegal Junior League are taking on Leinster on Sunday at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. That game kicks off at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and we will have updates from that clash here on Highland. And one other fixture of note, Strabane Athletic are looking to continue their excellent cup form. They play Ballymacash Rangers from Lisburn in the Irish Intermediate Cup quarter final, and that game is taking place on Saturday afternoon as Strabane chase a place in the last four. Okay, you're tuned to The Score here in Highland. Time for another commercial break. We'll be back with more after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score as we turn our attention to third level soccer. ATU Donegal lifted the CUFI Ústí Shield on Wednesday as they beat ATU Sligo by 3-2 in Athlone. Tommy Doherty stepped up with 2 of the 3 goals for Donegal. The other was an OG as they led 3-2 at the break. That's how the game finished, and ATU played very impressively in the second half to hold off a Sligo side that played the full second period, of course, with an extra man. But they end their season with silverware, and I'm now delighted to say the ATU Donegal manager, Shane Byrne, joins us on the programme. Welcome to the airwaves of Highland, Shane.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
Well, I suppose, Shane, today I'm sure there'll be a few sore heads in the group because they would have been celebrating last night, but there'll be a fantastic feeling amongst the group and a fantastic feeling around the college as well, because it's always nice when ATU wins a bit of silverware and it lifts everybody.
It does, surely, Oisin. And you know, the circumstance, I would say, yesterday as well, when we were going down to that game, we hadn't a full complement of players and that, so we had to dig deep, which we did, and the feeling after the game was great.
Yeah. So then, but on that fixture yesterday, you were 3-2 up at half time. Tell us about the goals, because Tommy Doherty stepped up with two.
The goals were very good. The first half, Oisin, offensively we were very good. Defensively, maybe we're just okay. We gave away two soft goals. And then we had a player that got himself sent off, and we knew we had a big half time ahead of us. You know, the Tom Doherty got two, and great delivery for two of the goals by Oisin Porter. And there's actually, from one of those, there's number 8, Owen McFarlane, headed into his own net. But the delivery was, you know, put their back four under severe pressure. and he just got a nick on it and went to the net. Great delivery for that goal. But we were disappointed in both goals that we gave away.
Yeah.
There was a penalty involved in it. And
listen, five goals in the first half, but obviously we're disappointed going down a man when Sean McDermott was sent off. But I think the way he's managed the game in the second half was exceptional, Shane.
We were delighted with the second half. You know, as I say, in the first half defensively, we weren't too bad. All the goals that we got came from set pieces, which we had worked at in training that. But defensively in the second half, we knew we had to be very disciplined in their shape in the second half, and we were. And the players deserve really great credit because they executed, you know, the instructions we gave them to near perfection. Collectively, we were very, very good, and we kept our shape really, really well. We're delighted with it, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned at the start there that you were down several bodies. Who were you missing yesterday, Shane?
Well, we hadn't any the Finn Harps players, Sean O'Donnell, Aaron McLaughlin, Kevin Jordan's out injured, Shane McMonagall, Gabby played a game with Derrickview the night before, came off at half time injured. Henry Wells got injured at Tyn Willett, Kenny Rowe. So we're doing quite a few, but I had full intentions of changing around big time anyway from our game in the cup game against Limerick, where I thought we were poor, and I was saying to the coaching staff there, I said, "Listen, boys, not you know the semi final and final, we will definitely make it five or six changes."
Yeah.
Which, you know, I didn't realize it would be losing so many players. You know, our bench wouldn't be as strong as it could have been. But a lot of the players that started yesterday were going to start anyway.
Yeah, but obviously you have a good core of a squad there. And if we look towards the future, are you going to retain many of them for next year, Shane?
I think out of a panel of 18 players, we would have 13, 14 players that'll still be available next year again, which is healthy for us, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is, and particularly when you're going to be playing in the Premier Division once again. And I suppose one of the targets this year for you, Shane, was to make sure that you retained your place in the top flight of Irish College of Soccer, which you did.
I think that's a big one at the start of every year, Oisin, for us. You know, that when you look at the colleges that are playing First Division, like the likes of Jordanstown, Queens, NUIG Galway, you know, there's a lot of teams that are playing in a division below, so they're big universities. For us to stay in the Premier League, that's kind of really the main objective from the start of the season, and getting a good cup run really kind of puts icing on the cake for you, you know. So this last 2 years we've reached finals of cups and we retained our Premier League status, which have been really good seasons for us, you know.
Yeah, but you won silverware this year in that Eustace Shield against Sligo, and even though it was seen as like the second tier slash qualifying competition, because there was the Eustace Cup, then you went down to the Shield. The Shield was just as competitive because it was two Premier Division teams that were competing in the final, Shane.
Exactly, Oisin. You know, it was always going to be a tight final, because you know, when we lost to Limerick and we saw that ATU Galway and ATU Sligo both were beaten on the first round of that competition as well, the likelihood that if we got to the final we were going to meet Sligo, because they were the only Premier Division team that was left on that, and it was always going to be a tight game and a local derby, Northwest Derby, and it proved to be the same.
Yeah. Just finally then, Shane, when you have a sports team in the college that's playing at a high level, like your soccer team is in the Premier Division, it's an attractive proposition for students who are coming to the college that there's football at that level there.
Well, that's exactly it, Oisin. I think that, you know, it's very attractive for soccer players that are coming to the college that realise that we're playing in the Premier Division. So it's a big plus. You know, the likelihood of a player coming to you because you're playing in that particular division is, you know, it's very attractive for them. And the same thing, you know, like in the Gaelic competition that they play in Sigerson, and we're in the Premier Division, that attracts the players to the college, no doubt about it.
Okay, Shane, many thanks for joining us, and congratulations to you and your management team, and obviously to the players as well on that success this week.
Thanks very much, Oisin. A pleasure as usual.
Well, it just wasn't a successful week for ATU, because on the schools front, Pobl Scull Gwydor successfully defended their FEA school's junior under 17 boys B National Cup title. They defeated Dunamead by 5-1 on Tuesday in Dundalk. Brian McFadden and Jordy Grubbin stepping up with 2 apiece. Finn Boner chipped in with a fifth and final goal as it proved to be another fruitful afternoon for the Gador side, who came back down the road with the All-Ireland title. And they were under the guidance of Padraig McGinley, who joins us on the programme. Padraig, welcome along to the Airwaves of Highland, and congratulations on your success this week.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, Padraig, I'm sure that there's a good buzz around the school this week after successfully retaining your All-Ireland title.
There is, yeah. No, the lads are delighted, and again, the whole kind of school and community have kind of really kind of supported us and backed us. Now, there's a nice crowd there when we came back last night too to greet us. So that was a nice touch, I thought.
Yeah, brilliant stuff indeed. And it's brilliant for the school, considering that you've won the title last year. And it's always a difficult thing to do to retain it. But from your point of view, you were able to keep the core of the squad there.
Well, that was probably the main thing. We lost probably 4 of the starters from last year. But like you said, yeah, we retained the core. And that kind of definitely helped kind of to retain it, because we have a kind of a gifted group of lads there, and we as well enjoy them while we have them.
Listen, you may give us an idea of maybe your run to the final. Obviously, you had to get out of Donegal and Ulster first of all, Padraig.
Yeah, so in the Ulster final, we had to play College Joria from Monaghan. So we beat them 4-1, but to be honest, the score probably flattered us on the day. It was tight enough up until maybe the last 15 minutes. We kind of got 2 late goals. For the semi-final, we played Glenamaddy, school from Galway. Actually, it was 4-1 there as well. That was, again, probably one of those games where the score did flatter us, but we just done what we had on the day, I suppose.
Yeah. You're not shy of scoring the goals anyway, so obviously you have a number of men that are very, very potent up front in front of goals, and we've seen that again in the final in a tie that you went 3-0 up on Tuesday, and it was key to get those first half goals in the final, Padraig.
It was, because it was fairly even up until, once we kind of got the first goal, it was a penalty. That kind of settled the nerves a wee bit. So Brian McFadden, he kind of stepped up, took the penalty, and then he scored the second one before half-time. So going into half-time, we were kind of, the lads were a lot more kind of relaxed and more confident that they could do the job. Coming into the second half, Gael Halsharachan, they kind of hit us quick. They almost scored straight from the break. But again, once the lads settled down, we got the third goal. That kind of killed the game, really, to be honest.
Obviously, Brian stepping up with 2, but Jordy Grubbin scored a brace as well, and Fun Boner wrapped it up towards the end.
Yeah, Jordy scored a lovely one. He managed to chip the keeper. Their centre half, he tried to clear it off the line, but unfortunately, he actually picked up an injury when he did, because he managed to catch his foot in the net, and he came off injured. And he was kind of the main man they probably had on the day. So when he came off, then the game really opened up. Because when they were kind of pushing, trying to get back into the game, that just opened up loads of space for the lads to kind of exploit.
We might be talking about goal scorers here, and Brian and Jordy and Finn, but obviously there's a lot of other young men involved in this squad as well that put up super performances this year.
Oh, 100%. Like, right through, like our keeper, Padraig McBride, which has been unreal all season. Like, our back four, Cahal McGee, Cahal Rua Gallagher, Alan Doherty, and young Joey O'Colley, the 4 of them have been on real all season. And even then, we were missing Cahal McGee in the semi-final due to a concussion. So Oran Ferry stepped in, and again, he was probably one of the best players on the pitch on the day. And then you had Micheál McBride, Micheál McGee was our holding midfielder. And again, he just made life pretty easy for us, because he was just taking the pressure off the defence and always kind of just feeding the midfield. And he was definitely kind of key to anything we ever done.
Well, listen, in relation to the squad, now this is under 17, so it is for small schools.
Yeah.
There's still another age group to come at senior level. Can this group continue to kick on now? Because that's back-to-back under 17 titles that you have won.
Well, the core of the group that's playing in the seniors, it is the same team. So it's a fairly young team. So, and they actually moved up a competition this year just to kind of see how they got on. So they're actually playing the A-grade competition. So they're playing, I guess, Skolmaya from Buncrana now in the final. So that's next week.
Yeah.
But it's basically the same core. It's the same team, like. The biggest issue we might face is just keeping everybody fit. Like, we wouldn't have a massive pool of players. It's just the pool we have is quite talented. So if we can keep everybody fit, then definitely they have a chance to push on. This is kind of new for us this year because we wouldn't necessarily have competed against the bigger schools, but so far they've kind of held their own.
Congratulations again, Padraig, because it's a huge achievement for the school and for the community, and I suppose it's one that you have to celebrate because winning titles doesn't come around too often, so it doesn't.
Well, that's it, and to be honest, like, I love to stand here and take credit for everything, but this is just a kind of a, I suppose, the fruits of all the work that the local clubs are putting into the soccer scene at home between Gidor Celtic and Gidor United. They've, you know, it's like they're just kind of developing brilliant players every year, so I suppose they kind of deserve a lot of the credit.
Okay, well done again. Thanks for joining us, Padraig.
All right, thanks a lot.
Well, it is, of course, a busy period for schools and likewise on the GA front as well. There's two Donegal schools this weekend who are playing in All-Ireland finals. Scolwara Buncrana are taking on Gallen Community School from Fairbairn and County Offaly in the All-Ireland Schools D final for the Brother Edmund Ignatius Rice Cup. That match is at Marchwick Park in Sligo on Saturday and it takes place at 2 o'clock. We'll have updates with Kevin Egan here on the programme Saturday Sport from that game this weekend. Their manager is Kevin Campbell, better known as the hurling goalkeeper and joint manager of the Satanta Club. And he joined Brendan Devaney on the DL debate earlier this week. So you can hear that interview. It's available now in the playback section of HighlandRadio.com. Kevin Campbell, the Scolwara Buncrana manager, speaking to Brendan Devaney. But here in the Score tonight, we're going to look forward to Abbey Vocational School's clash against Ashburn Community School of Meath. It's the All-Ireland Schools B final for the Paddy Drummond Cup and it's in St Tiernach's Park in Clonus at 2 o'clock on a Saturday. Dara Boner of the Donegal News will have updates from that game here in Highland, but we're now going to hear from their manager. Stuart McFadden joins us on a line. Welcome to the programme, Stuart.
Cheers, thanks very much, Ashley.
And I suppose looking to round off what has been a terrific season, to say the least, so far for the school.
It's an unbelievable achievement for the school to kind of make history, to become the first school team from the Abbey Vocational School to make it that far to an All-Ireland final at the B grade, the highest grade the school have played at. And, you know, it's lovely to see, and it's a nice wee change from the school life to have that wee bit of hype and buzz about.
But it's not just about Abbey, because there hasn't been too many sides from the county as a whole that's made it through to All-Ireland Finals and has had success, Stuart.
Yeah, well, from what we've heard there, and I think it's only three other schools who've made it kind of that far in the competitions before. That is De La Salle, Ballyshannon, St Eunan's, and I think PCC Fulcara. So, like, to be kind of leading the way there again for the Donegal schools at the B level is something that the school can be proud of, and like the boys themselves can be proud of as well.
Yeah. What's the atmosphere like around the school this week? And I'm sure since you've progressed through from the semi-final a couple of weeks ago, what's it like around the school, and what's it like within the group of players?
Well, around the school is organised chaos, I suppose you could call some of it. But it's, you know, there's flags going up and bunting happening and all the rest. But within the players, like, you know, we've kept everything as simple as we can. We've not changed too much from what we've done all year. And, like, obviously there is a big occasion and the boys are aware of that. But it's trying to kind of keep their feet on the ground to work on training, to work on a game plan, and then to be able to execute that. So there's a bit of a juggling there for the boys. And to be fair, a lot of them have a lot of experience of playing in failures and playing with their clubs and stuff. So, like, they have that wee bit of experience with big games as well. So hopefully that stands to them as well when we run out on Saturday.
Yeah, and obviously the bulk of the team is made up of a number of players from Four Masters who have tasted success in recent years, and there's a number of county players there as well. And that's a very, very strong backbone to the team for you, Stuart.
It's a backbone to the team there. Like, we have seven of the Ulster minor winning team from Four Masters, another five who lost out in that Ulster final last year. And then, obviously, we're helped along then by a couple of lads from Neat Bridge and Neat Nalia. So, like, they're a great bunch of lads. They've been together. The majority of them are leaving certs, been together kind of through the schools. Like, they have three school Ulster titles, one in first year, they'd won in under 14 and a half in second year. And then they got the McLaren in their last year of school. So it's been amazing just to see some of those boys and how they've progressed through the school from young 13, 14-year-olds. They're practically men now, and some of them up, obviously, in the inter-county scene with the minors in the 20s. And
it's just they're a great bunch of lads to work with.
Yeah, and I'm sure they get a great bit of fulfillment as well, Stuart, from having somebody like Jimmy Brennan, who's a Donegal senior player, being part of the coaching team there in the school.
It couldn't be any better for them. Like, they're getting Jimmy Brennan's expertise. Like, you have anybody that plays in their county or has been with the county squads, even in and around them. But like, Jamie's a starting 15 player there. Like, some of the things that he's bringing to the table and what he's telling them, like, they can't but take that on. And to be fair to them, they listen to everything that we're doing with them. They carry out game plans to the best of their ability. And sure, once they do that, we have to be happy with them. Like, we don't ask any more than that.
Yeah. And what about Ashburn? What do you know about your opposition for the weekend?
Well, we know they're a big physical side. We know they're big men in and around the middle. So, look, we're getting under a bit of pressure. We have a game plan in place. And hopefully now, if the boys are able to carry that out, we'll be in the game. Like, as I say, myself and Jimmy, we back these boys every day to go out. Like, we have utmost trust in them that they know what they're supposed to be doing. They're all good footballers, and if it comes down to the footballing side of it, we know that we have some super footballers in there who'll kick scores, who'll defend well, and hopefully at the end of the day be able to say they've won an All-Ireland title for their school and for themselves.
Yeah, just finally, we've had some big days with Donegal at St Tiernach's Park and Clonus, and we're all hoping now for a big day for Abbey at that same venue, and it'll be kind of Donegal football again.
Well, we're hoping that wee bit of the Ulster school and the boys, obviously they've all been to Clonus before supporting Donegal, but like, they get to play on that pitch now, nice big wide open field. So look, hopefully we'll have a good few supporters up there, and all of the kind of Ulster contingent will row in behind the Ulster team, I would hope too, if they happen to pop out to watch a game. Yeah. And look, just really looking forward to the occasion now and to getting out and just playing football.
Yeah, super weekend of football ahead for Donegal clubs. Obviously, Skull were in action as well, and Abbey Vocational School in All-Ireland. Listen, Stuart, we wish you all the very best of luck on Saturday in that All-Ireland final, and fingers crossed you'll have a title coming back down the road to the county.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Roger.
Very exciting indeed if you're part of Abbey Vocational School and indeed part of Skull Warra this week as you head to All-Ireland Finals on a Saturday. Just other fixtures of note this weekend. International Masters Rules Series. The first match involving the Irish Gaelic Masters in Australia is on Saturday in Curry and Charlestown for the over 40 and 50 men and the over 40 ladies. The Donegal involvement here comes in the form of Conor McShane, formerly Kilcare, now with four Masters in the men's over 40. In the over 50s, Paul Geller of Neave Warrilower Rosses is on the team, while Mark Cannon from the McCools Club is on the backroom team. And on the ladies team, we have Diane McGlynn, formerly Toner of Glenfinn and of Glenswilly, while Maria Devaney of St Eunan's, Brendan's sister, is involved at a management level. So it's a big weekend with the first series of matches to come there in the rules test against Australia. The Donegal, Derry and Tyrone Hurlers are back in action in National Hurling League Division 2B this coming Sunday. All three are away from home and they've all got 1 o'clock starts. Donegal, who of course are chasing a top three spot, they are taking on Roscommon at Dr. Hyde Park. The divisional leaders are Derry. They go to Ockram to play Wicklow. And Tyrone, who are also looking for a semi-final spot, they are heading to Ruislip in London. Willie Higgerty will be at the Hyde to watch Donegal against Roscommon for us on Sunday Sport. It's going to be another very busy weekend here on Highland, and you will of course be able to follow all the action over the course of our sports programmes on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning with Chris Ashmore after the 8:30 news. So for me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of your Thursday, have a good one.